Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, it is still now or never, and we still have the blessing. I mean, the divine hand of providence has given us another day and maybe another week and maybe another month and maybe another election cycle to get ourselves back on track. Time is finite. We have no idea when it's done. But when it's done, it's done. And so we have to work and live based on the idea that we still have an opportunity to prove ourselves and to prove that we can do these things, that we can, you know, follow the right path or follow the path in doing those things, doing those things that he would want us to do in serving others, in serving liberty, so forth and so on. So, folks, it's still another blessing to be alive and to have the opportunity to get involved. So I'm hoping that you're not wasting your time and opportunities by not getting involved. Now, with that, you know, you hear me say, you know, I'm your humble servant. I want to place context to that because I find it an incredible honor to be able to serve. Anybody that knows me, I am not trying to do anything to aggrandize. I've never once tried to make money off of in these endeavors of what I'm doing. Now, I've sold things and I've tried to make a living. Yes, I have. And the Lord has blessed me and put me in a position that I can actually sustain myself. This has kind of come up, and it's come up a little bit where, you know, hey, GR, it looks like you're going to be making some money if you actually monetize. You're actually going to be making a little money. Even though 80% is going to be going back out to you, I'm not planning on making that much money. As a matter of fact, if you look at my costs and everything else, that's all I'm really looking, because 80% of the profits will be going out to you, and I will be making the 20%. But I want to be clear here. Everything I've been doing, from the publishing of my first book and the writing of that book and all of those things and the assets and so forth that I've invested into all of this, that's all come from my retirement, with the fact that I have this shortened life where with the time ticking, I have, based on the statistics, when I found out I had 3 to 5 years, I now have 2 to 4 years if things are statistically on track. I'm hoping that we, you know, it doesn't mean that that's 100% accurate for me. It may be, I may get 6 or 7 years. That's still a lot less that I was banking on in being able to provide and using my retirement for the rest of my life. Well, okay, so that's not going to happen. So it is my obligation to try to repay my retirement and to ensure that my wife has her fundamental needs taken care of. That's what everybody would expect to be able to do. So I just want you to understand that I truly am your humble servant. When I have opportunities, such as the advertisement that I do in supporting these good companies and these good people, I believe in these companies. I believe in these people. That's why I do these endorsements, and that's why I don't get a penny for that. So that's why I believe monetizing and Reclaiming the Republic, because I'm not expected to make myself into a million-dollar franchise. I'm expected to save the Republic, and I'm expecting you to do the same thing. And so if you want to make your money doing your own radio show, you can do that. You can sever yourself and not be a part of the Reclaiming the Republic network, or on your own show, you can actually start getting your own and taking control of your own advertising and all of that. That's fine. But I'm not here to make you rich, nor am I here to become rich off of you. I am your humble servant, and I'm trying to put context to this, because most anybody that understands and sees, because I've seen the good side of people. Because I've actually had people come up to me back in 2013, a very sensitive, honest, patriotic, generous man came up and says, man, I hope this really works out for you, because the fact that you're just using your retirement to do this, that's a lot. And then when I responded back to him, I go, because folks, here's the reality. What value is my retirement if we're living under tyranny and we've lost our liberty? What value is that? I would rather die. So I'm trying to place context here. It's an honor to be able to be worthy of you even listening, and even more so that you're actually following and you're recognizing what I'm telling you is the truth. So it is truly a humbling honor to be your servant. And as you know, the show is sponsored by republicreview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. And what we're going to be doing for the good part of this week, if not all of the week, is we're going to be going through, we're going to be going through these pages that I've written up on the issues for your campaign and for your campaign in creating a constitutional county. These are all the issues that people need to be one aware of and all on board with. You know, it's not about just supporting your right to own guns. What about, you know, protecting your rights and regaining your rights to do fundamental things? It came to my knowledge that there are lots of people that live in areas, and I lived in one of those types of towns or incorporated areas where you couldn't have chickens on your property. Now, I can understand why there may be some health concerns and so forth. And I can understand that, you know, they have a law that says if you have chickens or if you have, you know, a goat or if you have any type of, you know, animals, whether they be a pet and poop on your yard, that you have to have, you know, the front yard kind of picked up. So anybody that has to access your house, they won't step in poop. Okay, well, that may be a little bit overreaching, but still, to tell you that you can't have a pet or you can't be self-sufficient, this is repugnant. How in the heck did our government get to a point where they've become so tyrannical over us? This starts creating indictments in how we've been sleeping. So some of these things that we're going to be going through in these issues, the Bill of Rights are aligning our constitutional rights into the 21st century and regaining our right of person and these fundamental things that we unfathomably we have lost because we've been convinced that they can do these things and they can't. So understanding these really puts you at a point of leadership, because how many people in your county understand these things? You and everybody else that listens to this show. So it's just a few of you that are actually, you know, leading. There are plenty of people that listen to the show, and as a matter of fact, if you're listening today and you're hearing this and you haven't heard anything in the past few weeks, I can tell you that, you know, you just happen to get this little snapshot where it really connects the dots for you personally right now. But when I was talking about the titles and when I was talking about, you know, the things we need to go through, by the way, I've not finished the titles. I can go through the titles and I probably will go through the titles, but we're at a point, this is campaign season, we're halfway through April, and I don't want to wait till the beginning of May for you to understand what you need to start campaigning on and what you need to start stirring the pot with as far as how you can start getting movements and getting people to say, you know what, we should have these rights. I have land, I have enough land to put a chicken coop on, I should be able to have a chicken coop. As long as I'm not doing it for commercial purposes where I sell, give away the eggs, I'm the only consumer of these things. That keeps it small and it allows you to have the freedom and the liberty to become self-sufficient. It's a sad day in America where our governments, cities, counties, or what have you, create conditions that do not allow you to become self-sufficient. This is unconscionable in America that we've allowed this to get this way. So with that, let me kind of go through these other obligatories. As you know, Fortitude Financial Coaching is an awesome resource if you're looking to actually become financially independent. Go get yourself a coach by talking to Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. Now, this is his company, and his company is directly associated to, you know, the Dave Ramsey school of thought or what have you. And I'm not doing him any justice by just, you know, trying to, because I'm not trying to marginalize this. Bottom line is, if you understand the buckets of money, if you understand envelopes, and if you understand some of these theories that Dave Ramsey has gotten people to apply, it has really helped people. I mean, there's this huge testimony. Well, Gary Smith has been completely trained and certified with Dave Ramsey's, you know, paradigm and his curriculum and so forth, that he's a qualified person to actually be a coach for you. Take advantage of that if you're ready to actually become self-sufficient with your own money. Fortunately, and hopefully, your local government will allow you to do that. Okay? Now, Stan Kluett with RadioDustCovers.com. If you buy something, you own anything of value, you know, like electronics, a computer, what have you, do not think that protecting it would be a bad thing. Protecting your investments is always a good thing, okay? Our comment line, 425-270-5416. Again, I apologize for not hitting the titles. We will get back to the titles when I'm all done with these. And the title of this document or this campaign issues, Bill of Rights, I call it the Bill of Rights of 2022. But the title of this document is really a comprehensive constitutional positions to campaign on for county, state, and federal elections. Because I want to help you actually drive, because leaders actually drive the narrative. Leaders actually get people to go, wow, this guy's right. We need to follow this guy. Because they are thinking on, and they're on top of things because they're solving problems. They're not just addressing the symptoms. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I've given you the title, Comprehensive Constitutional Positions, or maybe I need to change that language so that it's stated more clearly, because what these are positions, and this is comprehensive positions to campaign on to make sure that people understand how unconstitutional we are being governed and our paradigms. So anyway, getting things perfect is always nice. You know, sometimes changing happy to glad, you know, is just that. It makes somebody feel better that, oh, I found these things and I've made, you know, I've changed this word from happy to glad. Wow, what a big impact, right? So I understand that the title is probably still not that, you know, hard gut punch, wow, but this is a comprehensive listing of positions, constitutional positions, that people need to campaign on, okay? So just trying to drive the point of this title. The subtitle is Realigning Our Constitutional Rights for the 21st Century of Government. Now, definitizing the Constitution is the very first issue. And why is this the very first issue? We have to understand what is constitutional and what isn't. We can't put the cart in front of the horse. We can't start going down the road and saying, okay, we just accept everything that the federal government tells us is constitutional. No, 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 no. As a matter of fact, we already know that they are making it up as they go along, and they are taking advantage, and they have subverted what is constitutional and what is not constitutional, which is why we are living under the level of tyranny that we live under. So we must, and the first topic, now this may not be the driving topic for you, but what you have to do is you have to understand that the federal government is not the final arbiter as to what is constitutional and what is not constitutional. The states are the final arbiters. In other words, if we want to talk about what this line means or how it's to be defined, the court does not have the ability to redefine anything. Congress does not have the authority to redefine anything for the Constitution. It means what the states say it means, and technically and legally, it means how the framers sold it to the states, because the states can't even go down the path of converting or changing things that were well-defined in the very beginning of this compact. In other words, if they said that they can't make a treaty that is not within the enumerated powers, the federal government can't create a treaty or go into a contract, whether that be for debt or any other purpose, they can't create and go into a contract creating this treaty without having them, without that treaty being within their enumerated powers. So in other words, if they go out and create debt for social engineering, they want to start printing money to give out to people for welfare or for, you know, unemployment insurance, whatever it is, if that power is not enumerated, they can't take on that debt and they can't spend that money. Ah, now you start to see just how big the magnitude of this problem is, because we have a limited and defined government, but the government believes it's unlimited, and it is acting unlimited, and it is spending money unlimited. In other words, it is creating a fraudulent pile of debt that is worthless. We don't owe that money. And we owe it to ourselves and to our good nature and to our good reputation to call government out and say, you are frauding us, and the world is working with you to fraud us. In other words, these countries that are taking on this debt, they're basically trying to take advantage and say, hey, you guys spent the money, you took the money. The government that we have in place had no authority to take that money, to create that debt, and to create that contract. So therefore, you don't have that with us and our government. It is clearly legal within the definitions of this compact that they can't do it, because it was George Nicholas during the ratification debates that said they couldn't do it. Just because they forgot or they didn't realize, doesn't matter. It was written down, and it's something it was a standard they legally had to live by. And because they haven't been living by it, and you've been trying to exploit us, well, that doesn't look good for you. China, it doesn't look good for China for exploiting us and saying, yeah, we're going to be able to take over because we're undermining, and we got the government to be willing to not follow their compact. The law is the law. In a Republican form of government, the beautiful thing is we actually have the law on our side. The federal government does have the law on their side. They've only perverted courts and everything else to get the favorable outcomes that they want. But when it comes to defining what is constitutional, the final arbiters, whether it can be done or not, are the states. And the states have stayed out of the room since the beginning. It is time for the states, the parents, to actually have a conversation, to get together and say, what are we going to do about this kid we created? Because it's really out of control. That's how simple this is. But definitizing the Constitution draws a line in the sand to say, oh, federal government, you can no longer make these things up. And as a matter of fact, we don't accept what you've made up. Because when you start kicking off Republic Review, you must first delineate what is constitutional. Then you build off of that. That is your foundation. That is your stepping stone of building off of. So we have to understand, we have to actualize what is actually contained within those very few articles of the Constitution. We have 7 articles of the Constitution itself, and we have 28 articles that are amendments to it, which means your Bill of Rights and so forth. But we'll get into all of that when we go through this, but understanding the importance of definitizing the Constitution cannot be underplayed. This is why Republic Review is the final process to enforcing compliance. But these things have to be done as a part of the legal foundation. When we start trying to restore common law, that's why we have to start establishing the fact that common law is the law of the land. That is our legal system, and that is the courts. And that is how the courts are supposed to operate, on common law. And so here we go. So definitizing the Constitution is, you know, the very first thing that we want to go into, and the first thing that I have some bullet points on. Now, the first bullet point I have here, and I need to actually, this is going to become a book, and I don't want it to become a book, but the bottom line is when people read it, they have to understand what it is I'm writing and why this is there. And so when I put this HB 10132 for 2022, that's a House bill in Wyoming. The steps that it takes to definitize the Constitution, you need to get your state to create a committee for full constitutional compliance. In other words, as public servants who take an oath of office, they are required to support the Constitution and only the Constitution. So how do they do that? Well, they have to create a committee that absolutely understands exactly what the Constitution is and what it says. Well, before you can even do that, you actually have to definitize. But first, you have to create the committee. So the egg is the bill that for the state legislatures to create a dual-bodied or a committee that spans across both the Senate and the House, so that, you know, you have both senators and representatives on this committee. And then this, and if you want to look at the bill, this bill is very clear, and then we have an argument for the bill and its function. So you have to understand how this committee is supposed to function. And then, and so that's a completely another document, and I've got that out there too. And we'll get all of this stuff to you. What I want to do is just kind of go through the high level of the stuff here. And so if you go read this bill, and what we'll end up doing, because I haven't posted this yet, this will probably be posted up by the end of the week or maybe next week. I will be putting some links in here so that when I reference something, you can just click on it and actually go to that web page and read that bill that's in Wyoming, or the Madison's essay on property or so forth. Because these are very insightful documents. They kind of give you the background of what has to be done. So the next step, once you get the state legislature to actually, you know, get this bill and get this bill passed, each state must then, and this is all defined within this committee in definitizing the Constitution, they must definitively declare that only the Constitution, I'm going to use the term organic Constitution, is what they recognize as their Constitution. In other words, we no longer recognize the federal government and their annotated Constitution and how they want to interpret it and how they basically are exploiting it and oppressing us. We, as the states, have to stand up and say, we don't recognize that anymore. This is what we're working with, and this is the only thing that we're going to talk to you through. Because this is the legal document itself. That there is not legal. We never authorized you that. If you can show us in this organic Constitution where we gave you the power, where we delegated to you the ability to make up your own Constitution and interpret it for yourself, then fine, we'll go by that. But because we know that amendment doesn't exist, We're not doing it anymore. We're not playing by your game anymore. Third, this next bullet, the organic constitution is the original constitution that was ratified along with the 28 existing amendments, and that this is the only legitimate constitution, not the annotated constitution or any other derivative produced outside the authority of the states and outside the Article 5 process. So in other words, if the federal government wants to do something for energy, do education, anything, they have to go through the amendment process and have us formally delegate these powers to them. If it's not done through the amendment process, they can't do it, they can't inflict it upon us, and they can't spend any money and tax us for it. Anyway, with that, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's kind of push forward with this. I want you to understand why it is so important in defenditizing the Constitution, because now we have the bedrock. Now we know what they can do. If it's coming from the court and it's not something that is in pursuant to the enumerated powers, if it is not derivative of the enumerated powers or something enumerated in the Constitution. Remember, the federal government has more than just enumerated powers. They have enumerated roles. They have enumerated responsibilities. They have enumerated property. Everything that is mentioned in the Constitution delineates exactly what they can do when it comes to property, and that's it. If it's not in there, they can't have it. They can't do it. It is unconstitutional for them to assume that they can possess property outside of what is listed within the Constitution, such as reservations, whether that be reservations for people, whether that be reservations for spotted owls, or even trees and forests, or mountains or parks. They cannot do it. The only way they can do that is if the states amend the Constitution to allow them to seize their property and become the guardians and the holders of that. You have to understand the reason why the framers were so, I'll just say why they locked down the federal government so much and kept them from being able to enforce their own laws and kept them from being able to possess property is because those were the games that the crown of England had played over the centuries. This is how government behaves. As soon as they can convince you that they can take your property, they will. And they do. They confiscate property all the time now. They don't have the authority to do it. But my point is, friends, that if they can get away with it, if you give them the inch, they will take the mile. And so this is why they were constrained by this Constitution. So definitizing the Constitution isn't just limited to those words within the Constitution. It's not actually open for interpretation either. This is why this next bullet is critical. The states also recognize that the terms and definitions provided by the Federalists, not the Federalist Papers, but by the proponents for the Constitution, they were called Federalists during the ratification debates. These men that were selling or saying, we need to approve this Constitution, we need to ratify this. Those who were calling for the ratification, their label or term politically were Federalists. The Anti-Federalists did not want to see this new government formed. Okay? And so what we have to do is we have to go by what the Federalists stated during the ratification debates, because they are the legally binding terms and definitions. Why? Because the states bought into them. Every state that ratified the Constitution, which is all of them, means that they bought into how the Constitution was sold by those proponents. In other words, how they defined it. They provided these terms and definitions. Whenever terms and definitions are provided in the process of ratifying a contract, that becomes legally binding, period. It became legally binding way back then, and it is still today even legally binding. When somebody says, hey, if you do this, I'll do that, and if you buy this car, I'll give you this, you shake on it, that becomes a legally binding contract. Now, if you can't prove that he said that, if it's not in writing, then you're the fool. But we can prove what they said because it's in writing. That's why we have the ratification debates. This is why I tell people all the time, you need to understand who the Federalists are and who the Anti-Federalists are, so you can highlight those Anti-Federalists to basically say, whatever this person says, I have to take it with a grain of salt because it was rejected. Now, you may have somebody that's an Anti-Federalist and you highlight it red, like Samuel Adams in Massachusetts. He was an Anti-Federalist, and but he actually kept his comments to himself for the most part. And then towards the end, he kind of came out of the closet and said, you know, I actually was against this Constitution, but he actually, as an Anti-Federalist, persuaded a lot of Anti-Federalists to vote and actually support the Constitution in ratifying it. So I'm just trying to give you this, you know, this is the kind of, this is not difficult stuff, but this is the kind of logic we have to apply as we understand and look at what these comments are. Because James Monroe was an Anti-Federalist, and he was out there making all sorts of assertions. And there were some points in time where he was kind of on board. I mean, he was an honest man, and he was kind of on board with, and I concede to this, and I concede to that. But when he did not concede to how the Federalists were defining things, then those positions was rejected because they actually accepted what the Federalists were saying. So you have to be very careful when you read the ratification debates. The only things that are really legally binding are those things we're promoting and the selling of the Constitution by the Federalists, which is why you really should go, and I need to do this to my own. I've never done it because I just kind of keep track of things, but I need to do that so that it makes it simpler for you or those other people that I give this to, so that they can say, okay, you know, now I see, you know, the difference between the text. It's kind of like reading the Gideon's Bible. When you read the red text, that means that Christ said that or Christ did that. And so that means something more significant than somebody just reporting what they believe or what they thought or what have you. All the black text is, you know, other text. It's not Christ's words or what have you. So, and I think that's important. I think it's important to be able to see that and understand and differentiate between these are Christ's actual words versus the rest of these aren't. Does that make sense? That's one of the reasons why Thomas Jefferson, I don't know when the Gideon's Bible came out, you know, in this red text kind of format, because back in those days, I don't know if they had red text readily, you know, available or printed. They may have, because I don't know. I'm not the history buff on printing and that level of technology, but the fact of the matter is that when we look at, you know, when Jefferson did this, he did this for his own edification. And instead of writing the Bible outright, what he did was he only brought in the words and text of Christ's words and actions. In other words, this was all, you know, focused on this man's words and what he did. And everything else, you know, that was out there, you know, that talked about doctrines and clarified all these different things, Corinthians and Acts and so forth, all of that stuff was not included in this little book that he wrote for himself. He did this so that he could actually see the works of Christ instead of, you know, all these other explanations and, you know, clarifications written by these apostles and different men. So it was a self-edifying thing, not necessarily somebody trying to create an own religion. But there are plenty of people that look at Thomas Jefferson and they have really perverted what his efforts were to say, oh, he's trying to create a church, or he's doing this, and that wasn't his intent. So he's not here to defend himself. But one of the things that we can do is we can start looking and going, well, why did he do that? Because back in those days, they didn't explain everything. Just like with the resolutions of Kentucky and Virginia, and the fact that we had this real national emergency because the federal government usurped, you know, the Bill of Rights with the Alien and Sedition Acts. Well, what they didn't do is they didn't sit down and write, this is what you have to do when the government violates the Constitution. I wish they would have. I wish they would have been able to do this and provided us some books and some standards and so forth. But these men had other things and other, you know, involvements in life that, you know, they couldn't do all of this, you know, for gratis, or, you know, just for the benefit of us. So the fact that I'm just doing all of this, you know, again, it links me right back to being your humble servant. I hope you understand and appreciate the fact that, you know, it's an immoral person that tries to make, you know, take an advantage and make themselves. I just truly believe that when I start asking for money for things, you know, my book costs money and I do sell things, but I think that there's a very fine line that we walk, and I see lots of people, and I'm not trying to be discouraging. It is a business and it is a practice and it's accepted practice. You write books and you speak and so forth. You charge to do that. At this point, I don't like charging to do any of these things. I believe that the Lord has continued to bless me, and he will continue to bless me. Why? What is wrong with being blessed, and what is wrong with actually, you know, giving the Lord the opportunity to give you what you need instead of just trying to, you know, create this dynasty? If you look at some of the framers, I mean, most of those guys were not millionaires. They didn't create these huge franchises or enterprises. I mean, Washington was probably the richest and most successful businessman, politician in America of its time, and probably even to today's standards. But these men were men of honor and integrity, and I aspire to want to try to follow in those types of footsteps to live a life of honor and integrity, where I'm serving others and not doing these other things. But I've went down the wrong rat hole here. Let's get back to, and this, I think this helps definitize, or helps you understand what definitizing is, because the ratification debates, what we want to do is we want to actually take every clause, the necessary and proper clause. We want to go through and tie every time that the necessary proper clause was defined, and the terms and or definitions, the clarification regarding that one clause in the Constitution. Every time we want to actually consolidate all of those so that you can actually click on a foot link or a footnote link, and it'll take you to the footnote of all of those things. It's kind of like, if you want to look at what the annotated Constitution does, the annotated Constitution is where some author basically tells you what they think that all of this means. What we want to do is we want to link it to exactly what the framers told you what all of this stuff means. That way, we now have a definitive document that the states can use when they want to, or, you know, go into arbitration of what is constitutional. And they go, nope, that's not what they said there. And this is what this has to be. We'll be right back after these two promos.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so I'm hoping this makes sense, because what we're trying to do is actually give you a truly constitutional legal document that gives you the full clarity as to what the Constitution says and what the framer said it says, not some, what we'll call some jurist and their Ivy League education in how they were taught to describe those things. Because when we allow them to do that, when we allow them to define those things, they can make it so they're serving themselves. And that's exactly how they've been doing it. When Marshall started making rulings, he started throwing opinions out there that were absolutely in direct conflict, conflicting with what he said during the ratification debates. And I can prove this. We can act, because he actually testified during the ratification debates, and he basically stated that the court itself does not have jurisdiction over things that are not enumerated, and that if any law came before them regarding something that was not within the enumerated powers, they would consider it not under their jurisdiction, and would consider the law void. But they don't. Ever since then, and ever since the Constitution has been ratified, he's been doing the exact opposite of how he sold it. This is how we actually use these words to get back to what it was. Does that make sense? I know that you know, I really simplified that process, but folks, we have the legal definitions in our hands with these ratification debates. You know, it really saddens me when I try to explain to people not to waste your time with the Federalist Papers. If you want to immerse yourself in the Constitution and understand the Constitution, if that's what you want to do, you have to read the ratification debates. Because the Federalist Papers may be insightful, and they may have been written by a great man, James Madison, but he didn't write all of them. The guy that wrote some of them, a good percentage of them, was Alexander Hamilton. And he was a pernicious man. He was a man that had an ulterior motive, and he was constantly playing games in going back and forth with the anti-federalists in the papers. I'm here to tell you that definitizing the Constitution lays the foundation. So now our foundation and the frame, it lays out the framework. This is what I meant. I'm combining two words. I'm going a little too fast for myself. The foundation and framework. Because now that you have the foundation, you can build the framework on that foundation and go, okay, this is what all has to fit inside these enumerated powers and only these things. You can't create a derivative off of an assumption or a implication like the currency and the implication that there's a bank that is associated. A bank is an institution. A bank has a very specific function. A bank is not creating a currency. The enumerated power is the currency, not the banking, not the ability to loan, give loans, create loans, and play magic with our finances and our currency. The whole thing and the whole everything we look at that has been done banking-wise and everything else has to be undone, and we have the ability to undo all of this stuff. The fact of the matter is we've been going well over two centuries in operating in the paradigm on things that were should never have been done. So anyway, let's move forward. Enforcing the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. So once we've created the definitized Constitution, HB 0132 will actually have this process, which is Republic Review, and I'm not going to go through Republic Review right here. But bottom line, this process upon this establishment of this is the Constitution and this is what every word in the Constitution means and this is what these clauses mean. So upon this definitized Constitution as the supreme law of the land, the state then needs the legislature to do a thorough audit. And that audit will be done by this committee. And then as it defines the jurisdiction of the general government or the federal government, based upon those enumerated roles, responsibilities, powers, and properties, those things that are enumerated within the Constitution, then we can actually start getting really down to what is good, what's good meat and what's bad meat, or separating the wheat from the chaff, because we got a lot of chaff here with government, folks. We got to, blow it all away and get it out of our wheat bin, because chaff, it has offers no nutrition. There's no point in harvesting that. That is the outcast. And so what we also then have to do, we have to also understand where law can come from. Now, maybe there is law out there that might be something with an enumerated powers directly a derivative of, such as an executive order, because the president took it upon himself to say, this is something that we have the power to do in the Constitution. We need to do this. Technically, he can't do it. So the fact that he did that, even though it's in pursuant to the Constitution, does not make it legal. Legislative authority is granted only to Congress. Judiciary authority, in other words, determining whether it is within the law or within the framework of the law or not, belongs to the Supreme Court. Enforcing and executing that law belongs to the executive. That's it. Those are the defined roles that are within the Constitution. Therefore, they have to also look at what the source of the laws are. By technicality, the president can't make law, so that law is unconstitutional. There was a reason why Congress didn't do it. And some of these reasons that we're finding out what they did and how they did and why they did some of these things, why the bench or the president has been doing executive orders and or legislating from the bench as well. Well, folks, this kind of shows you that Congress didn't want to have that stink on them, sticking to them. If they got the court to do it, then they could get the court to do their bidding for them so that then they don't look to be the bad guys. This is how one hand takes care of the other hand because, we didn't do it. The court did it. This goes down the path of the fact that Congress is accepting the fact that the court actually has the ability to legislate, to create law. I mean, we just heard this in the last Nimrod that was being, going through the nomination process for the Supreme Court, Jackson or whatever her name was. Does the court have the ability to create law? Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. And the fact that Congress is allowing that to happen, it makes me sick. They are so perverted on what they can do and what they can't do. It is that bad. This is why, folks, it's by the graces of God that we are still in this fight and we can still do this. And I am telling you, he can perform miracles. You know, Moses didn't know that when he left Egypt, you know, all the miracles that he would have to call upon God just to get away from Egypt itself by splitting the Red Sea. Folks, come on. We've got the power of heaven on our side. Let's do this, right? Okay, so anyway, going through the bullets on the definitized Constitution, the 28 Amendments, and as I just basically said, how we're tying these ratification debates. Based on the ratification debates and Madison's notes, I'm going to be tripping up and saying bad words here, and I don't mean to do that because I'm talking too fast. Based on the ratification debates and Madison's notes on the Constitutional Convention, the states need to define, these are what they have to define in this committee, that enumerate all RRPs that are delegated in the Constitution. In other words, all roles, responsibilities, and powers. So I'm going to break these down into sub-bullets. So the sub-bullets would be, first, enumerate all roles delegated. These are the things that they have to do. They have to do this for these elections. They have to do this for, you know, representation. They have to do this for declaring war or, you know, taxation. You know, power of the purse belongs to what? So that everybody understands what their enumerated roles are. They also have to delineate what their enumerated responsibilities are. Then they have to delineate what the Constitution has delegated in enumerating the powers that they have. Then they have to delineate the powers that they have, or I should say enumerate what they've been delegated to in the possession of property. And then enumerate the judicial jurisdiction. In other words, the judicial jurisdiction arises to all things under this Constitution. So in other words, if it's a role, responsibility, power, or property that is actually within that Constitution, such as a magazine. You know, the government has a magazine and there's this problem. It actually falls under the Constitution. That means that it is within federal jurisdiction. If it has something to do with a park, a national park, well, it's not within federal jurisdiction because the national parks are unconstitutional. So the federal court can't even rule in that. I'm going to give you a case in point, but I want to get through this because this actually came up this weekend and might as well keep things, you know, hot and fresh because they're hot and fresh. So, again, the jurisdiction of the federal government in the Constitution, in Article 3, Section 2, this is what it states. The jurisdiction of the federal court will, quote, arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States, and the treaties made or which shall be made under their authority. In other words, these things that they have enumerated, they have full sovereignty over, and all laws that they make regarding these very few things that they have sovereignty over, that is the law of the land. That, and they have jurisdiction over all those things. That's it. So in other words, healthcare, it's not in there. They don't have jurisdiction. They can't even open up their doors to have a discussion over labor, healthcare, any of these things, folks. When you walk into their court on those types of issues, you have surrendered sovereignty to them and empowered them over you. That's how stupid it is. We even think about, well, we've got to go to court. We believe, oh, well, everything has to be done in court. Who wants you to do that? Who gets rich from doing that? The lawyers. Folks, if you really start thinking about it, we're going to connect the dots and we can keep going and going and going. The whole point is, and what we're going to be doing with these issues, is help you realize how to drive and create your constitutional counties and how we do all of this by using the Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort.
We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.